Christian friends, among the happy moments in life are those when we walk out of a doctor's office having a regular checkup and we are found fully healthy. Nothing to worry about, at least till the next checkup. The relief of that moment is surpassed only perhaps by walking out of a dentist's office cavity-free and knowing there's nothing to worry about until the next checkup. But happy moments like that are always tempered by the realization and the nagging awareness that someday there will be a less pleasant visit. Someday the doctor will find something wrong. Might even be something that won't heal. Something chronic like diabetes or MS. Something that will afflict us for the rest of our lives, and we just have to learn to live with it. Sooner or later, it will be something that won't heal, and we can't live with it. The only way to avoid that is by some catastrophe happening before then. Either way, we will die. Now, I won't discount the sadness that always accompanies death, but we do address it with the faith worked by God's word in passages such as the one before us here this morning. And we read in Revelation chapter 14, "Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, 'Write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes,' says the Spirit, 'that they may rest from their labors, and their works follow them.'" Our Lord Jesus has been given many names in Scripture. May I this morning give him perhaps a new one. I'll call him the Lord of the U-turn. That's a good name because Jesus turns things around. Jesus reverses the effects of sin. Remember the curse our first parents, Adam and Eve, earned by their sin, how mankind would have to work and sweat to wrest food out of the ground? Jesus, for a few moments, reversed that curse when he fed 5,000 people out of a few loaves and a few fishes. He turned that curse around. Does sickness strike even those in the strength of youth? And do we encounter more and more frailties as we age? Jesus went around healing and restoring strength and health. He faced that deterioration and he turned it around. Do people die? Remember that funeral procession from the town of Nain, where a widow's son had died and they were heading out to the cemetery. Jesus met that procession and he raised that boy back to life and he turned it around. And then he turned around death itself for good when he submitted to it himself and broke free from the grave in his glorious resurrection on Easter morning. Jesus turns things around. He turned us around. Because in his death he suffered the punishment we owed for our sin. And he puts on us who believe in him his white robe of righteousness. We were marching toward hell. He turned us around toward heaven. We were marching toward death. He turned us around toward life. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, they will rest from their labors, and their works follow them. Notice the works follow. They don't go ahead of us. Our works are not our ticket to heaven. Jesus provides that ticket, and it's free. Free to us. It wasn't free to him. He paid for our ticket on the cross. And that turns even our works around. When we depend entirely on Jesus for that ticket to heaven, the good things we do as believers are not selfish anymore. They're no longer to earn points for ourselves, but they're simply to show love and thanks to God by showing love to each other. And since those good things we do as Christians are empowered by Jesus, they are turned around. And they really aren't our works anymore, but they are Jesus' works that he does through us. And so when we arrive in heaven, surrounded by what Jesus did, we're wearing his white robe, and we're in a cloud of his good works. We can't enter heaven in any other way. We wouldn't want to enter heaven in any other way than surrounded by everything that Jesus did for us. When we think of resting from our work, we think of vacation time. And we certainly look forward to vacations, don't we? At some point in your life, maybe you've done it already, you'll decide on your favorite vacation spot. I know some people who like Glacier National Park. They go there every chance they get. Or the Black Hills. Or for us, it's a sunny, beautiful Gulf Coast beach at a timeshare in Florida. And isn't it delicious after a hard semester or a tough year to look forward to going to that vacation spot, to arriving and just relaxing, knowing that you have no cares or worries for a while. But the fun there, too, is always tempered by the realization that it's going to end. First day of vacation week is so great because you've got that whole 7 days lying ahead of you, and then by Wednesday you're thinking, how can it be halfway over so quickly? And on Friday it's just 1 day left and 1 night left before it's over, and then it's over. But not heaven. There the rest will never end. And we look forward to that. In fact, we pray for it in church as part of the liturgy. Remember, we often sing, Lord, let your servant depart in peace. And since we usually sing that near the end of the service, I always used to think for a long time that depart meant to go home. Okay, now we can leave the church and head out, right? Well, that really does mean go home, but in a more profound sense, it means to die. Those words were first spoken by the aged Simeon as he held the baby Jesus in his arms. Remember, he'd been promised that he would not die before he saw the promised Savior. And now he held that baby, and he was content to die. And so he prayed, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before all people. At the end of our chapel services here, you often hear the words, depart in peace. And certainly that means walk out of chapel with the contentment of knowing that through Jesus' work, our sins are forgiven and we have peace with God. But it means more than that. It means know that you're ready to die. And if the Lord calls you today, you're ready, you're at peace. You can depart confident in this promise before us this morning. If you remember the relief that you felt walking out of that clinic knowing that you were healthy or cavity free, or if you've known the pleasure of the start of a pleasant vacation week at rest, then you can begin to imagine what it will be like walking into heaven, surrounded by that cloud of what Jesus did, free from sin at last, free of physical infirmities, free of the fear of death, starting an eternity of rest, thanks to the love of God that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. Truly blessed are the dead who die in the Lord.